Well, happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
It was awesome to drive up here. It was a beautiful day today. And coming in, the thing that I found most striking was even when people are wearing masks, you can see smiling eyes. It was beautiful, a beautiful sight. And again, thank you for those that were involved in the preparations for the COVID distancing and making sure we have sanitizer and things like that. The flowers are beautiful today. The special music was awesome. The prayer, the intercessory prayer was awesome as well. It shows that the heart that we have for going out to each of our friends and brethren, and again, we're very thankful for that. The message today is titled Together Again, Our Gratitude and Thankfulness and Zeal to Come to Church. So just to talk a little bit about thankfulness and gratitude, to try to understand a little bit about them and what the difference between them is, I start with the definition. It says, thankfulness is the feeling of being happy or grateful because of something. It's being aware and appreciative of a benefit. So that's what it means to be thankful. You're happy, and it's because something occurred. In the little box, it says, thankfulness is being thankful to God for all of his blessings, those we see and those we do not see. So a characteristic of thankfulness or gratitude is this idea that sometimes we're aware of these things happening for us, and sometimes God is doing things for us that we're not even aware of. And again, we're still thankful for those things God does for us. In the definitions area, it says, for a definition for thankfulness, it says, a quality or condition of being thankful, the appreciation of an inclination to return kindness. So one of the characteristics of people is that if someone does us a kindness, it's our inclination to want to return that kindness to someone else. It says a sense of wonder and thankfulness and appreciation for life. And again, when I heard the services were coming back again, it was one of those things where the grin, you can't get the grin off your face because, you know, I miss people so much. I miss the, the attitude, the love that we have for one another and the songs. And when it goes on for week after week and you don't really know when the end is coming, it can be really a real test. And so the first thing you feel is this gratitude and thankfulness to God that he's allowed the conditions to allow us to be able to gather together again, to share that Holy Spirit that we share among each other. And that was awesome. And then we have a really nifty definition is the last one here. Thankfulness is a cognitive affective state prototypically related to the perception that one has received a personal benefit that was neither earned or deserved, but bestowed through the good intentions of some benevolent source. So again, very often, an area of thankfulness we don't consider is we're thankful, not because, you know, we worked 3 hours and earned what was given to us, but we're given something that we haven't necessarily, you know, strove to earn. It's just something that was given to us. And that's, again, another characteristic of thankfulness. Gratitude, it says, is a feeling or quality of being thankful towards someone for something, a state of feeling appreciative. And again, one of my favorite speakers at this point is Dennis Prager. And if you remember the last time I spoke, which was just a million years ago, Dennis Prager, we used this quote where we were talking about happiness, and he says, yes, there is a secret to happiness. What is the secret to happiness? Everyone wants happiness in their life. What is that secret? And he goes on, he says, it's gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy. We tend to think that it's being unhappy that leads people to complain, but it's truer to say that it's complaining that leads people to becoming unhappy. Become grateful, and you'll become a much happier person. And again, you just rehearse in your mind different situations where you showed that you were grateful and the happiness that, that resulted from that. And next we have an insight. What is the difference between grateful and thankful? Grateful and thankful are both positive feelings of gratitude. The big difference between grateful and thankful is that grateful implies that you need others to be happy. Well, you can be thankful without being dependent on others or external occasions. Instead, you can always choose to be thankful if you choose to. So gratitude, being grateful, is because someone has bestowed something to you. And thankfulness, again, often applies to when God does stuff for us. I thought to follow up on these points about thankfulness and gratefulness, I'd look at five different examples from the Bible on where people were thankful or grateful about something. And I was trying to think of examples that I haven't used all the time, because there's examples that I love to use. I love the example of that the Gentile leader of the army who had leprosy. I love to use that example and how this little slave from Israel says, "Oh, if only my master knew, there's a prophet in Israel and he could heal his leprosy. It's easy." and how they did send and sent for him to be healed, and ultimately he was healed. I love that example because it's so unexpected. Anyhow, for the five examples that I've chosen, the first one talks about Jesus cleansing 10 lepers. And what can we learn here about gratefulness or thankfulness? It occurs in Luke 17, starting in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." Lepers were not allowed to mingle with other people. People felt it was very contagious, and so they were shunned and pushed to the side. They stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests," because that's the instructions given in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had instructions on how to be cured of leprosy. One of those steps was to go to the priests. And so Jesus, in supporting what was written in the Old Testament, says, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Something that Luke was careful to point out. It wasn't someone in Israel that was thankful. It was someone in the, in the Gentile area of the country. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So that's the lesson we have. And it goes on in verse 19 and says, "And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." So the lesson we need to learn from this, from the concept of thankfulness, is when God grants you something, be thankful to God. Show him, say, praise him, because you are thankful. Jesus has to point out this extreme lesson. Leprosy is a lifelong disease that eventually leads to people's death, and it's a miserable death, and it's a lonely death because you're shunned. And when people are healed from that, only one of the 10 returned to thank God for what was done. Example number 2 of thankfulness or gratitude in Scripture is taken from Deuteronomy 8, and we're talking here about the nation having the most to be thankful for. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, it says, "When you have eaten and are full, Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he's given you. So again, he's not saying do it before you had any blessings. He says when you've eaten and are full. So once you've started to taste of all these blessings that God has, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful homes and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And here he's going to talk about what their state before was. So here he's talking about the blessings initially, and now he's going to talk about what the other state was. The land of Egypt, the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, where there is fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of that flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives power to you to get wealth, and that he may establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers as this day. Then it shall be, and then the small word if, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. And is this something special for Israel? No, it's not. Next verse, verse 20, Deuteronomy 8 says, you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you should perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So again, the lesson that we have here is that God is going to bless this nation, and he wants them to be humble and thankful for that blessing, because what so easily happens, it's human nature, is as soon as things start going well, forget about God. You know, it's my effort, it's my work that's done this. And God is trying to warn them ahead of time. Moses, in this case, is trying to warn them ahead of time. Don't let this happen. Be thankful for the blessings that God gives you. Example 3 from Scripture on gratefulness and thankfulness talks about God delivering blessings, then we deliver thanks. Well, actually, not always. It's not always in that direction. In 1 Thessalonians 15:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. So we have this situation, all circumstances. Well, sometimes the circumstances are kind of crummy, but the instruction is still the same, to thank God, to give thanks, because there's, in any situation, still blessings that we've received from God. And in 1 Peter, verse 1, starting in verse 6, chapter 1, starting in verse 6, it says, in this you should rejoice, or greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. The genuineness of your faith, having much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. So we haven't seen Jesus yet, but we love Jesus. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. So we look towards the final goal. There's trials that are happening in our lives, but that's okay, because we look towards the salvation of our souls that's going to be coming. A fourth example of gratefulness or thankfulness is David. And in this case, he has a prayer of deliverance. This is from 2 Samuel 22, starting in verse 47, it says, "The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You've delivered me from the violent men. Therefore, I give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." Again, straight up thanks for God's deliverance in David's life. And a fifth example is where Jesus, who is our supreme example, we look to Jesus to model our lives after. So here's some examples from Jesus of thankfulness. In Matthew 11:25, it says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes.'" So again, Jesus wasn't exalting himself. He always gave thanks to the Father for the great miracles that were done around him. In Matthew 26:27, it talks about at the Last Supper, he says, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you.'" So again, this sharing, this unity that was happening with the group included Jesus pointing to the Father and giving thanks to the Father for the unity that they have. And in John 11, verses 41 to 42, we have the example from when Lazarus was resurrected from the dead. And so it says, "They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me because of the people who are standing by. I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.'" So again, Christ is pointing to the Father to thank him because this great miracle that's about to be done is due to the grace, the favor of the Father. So again, there's a diagram in the corner. I won't go ahead, I won't read it from here because it's in such a tiny print I wouldn't be able to. But it talks about some of the benefits of gratitude. There's psychological benefits, there's physical benefits, and there are social benefits that we can receive from being grateful. We talked about it's the secret, the key to being happy, to be grateful and thankful. Here's some other benefits that we might take note of. And the reason we're talking about thankfulness and gratefulness today is because this offers an opportunity that we have to once again start to meet again. It's kind of interesting how the hymn service kind of starts off a little slow and tentative as we're once again becoming accustomed to what we're doing, and we're trying to be respectful of the COVID situation. But it's interesting how even though it's been a few months, it's like no time, you know, in some ways it's like no time has passed. We each have roles that we do, and we do them thankfully and gratefully. We're all happy in our place here. And so when I heard we were going to be coming back to church, I wanted to spend a bit of time today to review some of the benefits. What are the reasons why we come to church, and what are some of the good reasons that we should be going to church when we have opportunities to? So point number one says that church connects us with God. We're making time for God and physically allowing him to live in our lives by attending a place of worship. So often, and you may have found this during the months that you were on your own, that even though you have a lot more time that you potentially could be spending with God, you're not necessarily doing it. And so by having time set aside each week on the Sabbath, it's God's wisdom to know that we get busy in our lives, and sometimes we wouldn't spend the time that we need to with God. So by having a Sabbath day and a chance to assemble together, he gives us time to connect with God. Point number two, church gives us a chance to reflect on gratitude. And again, I talked about all the things to be grateful for when coming in. The beautiful flowers, the beautiful music, the smiles, the encouragement that we get from each other are all things that we can reflect on and be grateful for. And that's why we love each other here, and that's why we're eager to spend time with each other. Number three, the church connects us socially with extended family who love us. So once again, we have opportunities such as this past Thursday when Al and Angie were celebrating their 60th anniversary, such a special occasion. And although we couldn't be there in person, it was awesome to see that the church was able to come together and help make their day special. And it was very much appreciated, the feedback that I've had and the smiles that we saw on Al and Angie's face when they were sitting there together and all the other boxes around them. It was awesome to see that they had brethren and friends, loved ones around them, sharing in that special occasion for them. Point four, church helps us better connect with our spouse. It says couples who attend church together report higher levels of happiness, satisfaction with their marriage. Why is that? Church reconnects us with our shared beliefs. It reinforces the higher philosophy and purpose behind marriage. So that higher philosophy and purpose is that marriage symbolizes Christ in the church, the relationship he has there. And it allows us a safe place to connect with God and our spouse together. Point number five, church allows us to feel reverence. Per the CGI Canada vision statement, the church is meant to be a safe place with music and prayer and teaching. So we don't come here to have, what do they call it, fall down battles and debates on subjects where we're, you know, splitting the room in half and yelling at each other. We come here because here is a safe place. We can share ideas and we can do it in a way that's non-threatening. So it's not that we don't explore ideas here. It's that this is a safe place where we can do it safely because we're sharing ideas in love. We're hoping that the best ideas rise to the top. And church allows us to do this in a way that should not be threatening. When you leave the doors here and start to meet up with other people and you start sharing ideas, you'll find that it's a very different world out there. And sometimes they don't want to hear your ideas and they don't want you to say anything. But church is meant to be a safe place. Point six, church provides plenty of opportunities to give back to brethren, the community. The example in the Ottawa church here is the Tim Hortons cards that we give to the women's center that's here. And it's just, you know, one example of what we can do. I think sometimes we've had some clothing things that we might have done for the community. And again, as members are inspired with ideas and can bring those ideas to other members, you know, the Tim Hortons card wasn't, someone from on high telling us, you know, here's what you need to do. You know, it wasn't the board in Canada saying, this is what you need to do in Ottawa. It was from a member saying, here's a group of women that could really use a break. And something as simple as a Tim Hortons card gives them a chance to go out from the shelter, spend a bit of time in the restaurant and have a coffee and maybe talk with someone. And so the ideas don't necessarily have to come from, you know, the leadership group. They come from everyone that's sitting here. And if you have ideas of what we can do to help the community, you can share those ideas with the members here. And there's an excellent chance that if you're convincing, we may you'll pick up other ideas to do. Point seven, church helps us find the lesson in our trials. So many times we're struggling in a particular area and found a sermon or word of encouragement applied directly to our situation that felt like the pastor was talking directly to just me. Church helps us get it, whether we're ready for it or not. Sometimes we don't know when trials are going to come and when lessons are going to come to us. But the hope is that by attending church, there are going to be those moments where God does want to communicate something to you. And it may be something that the speaker says that you can look at and say, wow, I don't know if that applied to anyone else, but that really means something to me. And it's interesting that that is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit reaches out to us and communicates to us. Point number 8, church teaches us forgiveness. It can be hard to let go of disappointments. Forgiveness is one of the hardest lessons to learn. And church is an opportunity where we can forgive others and we can be forgiven when we mess up as well. Part of being a loving, extended family is realizing there's going to be times when we step on our toes, step on other people's toes, and hopefully we have a heart that wants to reconcile and to be forgiven. Church helps teach us about those lessons of forgiveness. Number 9, church fills our hearts with song. Listening to hymns and religious music can uplift us and give us messages we may not otherwise hear. So the messages in the hymns that we sung today might be different from the messages in the word of encouragement from today, or different from the sermon today. And music seems to, in my mind, it sometimes has a back way of getting into your mind, a back door into there. So sometimes you might have the shields up here, but then you'll be tapping your foot to music, some beautiful words, some voices that just comes into your mind, and then you start listening, you start thinking about what are those words that they were saying, and it comes to your mind and says, yes, that's very true. And you learn a lesson that you might not have realized was going to come. And it's at church that we have the opportunity that those are gifted musically and share that gift with us so that we can benefit from it. Point number 10, church is where we find deeper meaning in our lives. It's easy to lose sight of the greater plan and purpose that's out there for all of us. So what is this deeper meaning in life? What's this plan or purpose for all of us? Well, we understand from the holy days about the plan of God. We understand the destiny of mankind. We understand why did God create the world the way that he did? Why is there creation? So there's all kinds of lessons and things that we've learned from attending church, from attending sermons, listening to them. And church is where we can find some of that deeper meaning. So I figured 10 was pretty good, so I figured I'd pretty much wrap it up there, but I found that there's at least another 10 more reasons. So here's the 10 more reasons why we should come to church. Number 1, to hear the preaching of the word. If the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a sword, Hebrews 4:12, it's through preaching of sound doctrine that the word of God penetrates the hearts and transforms lives, calls sinners to repentance. Angels rejoice when one sinner repents. It encourages the downtrodden. It inspires the Lord's servants to love and serve Christ. It lights the way God would have us go. And when facing certain death, the Apostle Paul revealed the importance of preaching with his final instruction to Timothy, where he says, "Preach the word, be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." So Paul points out the importance of hearing the preaching of the word. Point number 2, it allows us to participate in corporate worship. So we can worship individually at home. We can go individually into our prayer closet, and that individual worship is really important. But Scripture also shows us that worshiping together as a group, Christ said, "I'll build my church," and he did it because he realizes it is important to have a body of people together, and the social interaction of that group of people together, the mental interaction of sharing of ideas, is going to be a multiplier, where you could do this much by yourself, but with a whole room full of people, you could do so much more. You can learn so much more and be so much more effective. It says, "Worshiping God alone is wonderful, so is coming together as a family." point number 3 or 13, for reasons we should come to church, it says, it's because iron sharpens iron. That's what Proverbs 27:17 tells us. When iron rubs against iron, not only does it become sharper, when we share ideas, we challenge each other, we become stronger. So we don't only become stronger, but it also causes sparks. The idea of iron sharpening iron can sometimes cause a bit of friction and sparks, and that's okay as well. It's part of that process of growth. Point number 4 or 14, we want to come to church because it gives us a chance to exercise your gift. From preaching to encouraging to hospitality to administration, God equips his children with gifts to serve Christ. There's a couple verses there that are listed. And again, we have the benefit in the Ottawa area that a couple of years ago it was identified the area that we needed the most growth in was understanding what our personal gifts were. So we spent a lot of time, at least in that year, really focusing on personal gifts and how we could share those with others. Point 15, why come to church? To encourage your pastors. In this case, Murray and Adrian. The pastor's heart of the Apostle Paul comes through when he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always giving every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. These are things we've heard both Murray and Adrian talk about. It's our partnership with them as God's servants, and the praise that they have for the love that we show in Ottawa when somebody new comes in or when they come in, how we try to do our best to make people feel special and loved. And so when Paul is talking here, he's talking about this partnership. So Paul is a teacher, but once he leaves, it's left up to the members that have learned. And so hopefully we learn those lessons and we practice what we've learned. So Paul is saying, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and it's right for me to feel this way about you all, for I hold you in my heart. So again, the ministers for us in Ottawa, Murray and Adrian, do very much hold us in their hearts. And we can see that in their messages. We can see that when they come out to our special event of Al and Angie's 60th anniversary. You know, they made sure that they were able to attend as well. And it's special when our pastors are able to do this. So one of the reasons we like to come to church is to be able to encourage our pastors to continue to do great things. Number 16, to find godly mentors. It's interesting that as I look back in my life, I can look at a couple of people through my life that have been mentors to me, and the benefits that's provided me, because they've often encountered some of the battles and challenges and the learning that I don't have yet. Although I love learning by doing things, learning from example, I also love learning from hearing other people's trials and examples so that I don't have to necessarily suffer those things. And so the idea of mentoring is really important in God's church. It's something that in Toronto, when a new person comes in, they try to pair them up with a mentor so that when somebody has a question, they can contact their mentor and discuss it, and I think it's something that works really well in Toronto. I don't know if Corinne will have a chance to explain a little bit more about that program, but as a church gets to a certain size, you can then start to implement programs like that. So finding godly mentors, their wisdom, insights, and even vulnerability to teach you from their mistakes is one of the ways God provides to help you grow. Titus 2 is a great place to learn how much God values mentorship. It is his plan for the older men and women to come alongside the younger to train them in godliness and guide them towards building a life. And God wants to use you to mentor someone else. Point 17, to teach your kids to love the church. If you want to teach your kids to love God, they need to see that you love God. If you want to teach them, help them learn to love God's people, they have to observe you loving God's people. Luke 6:40 says that the student will become like his teacher. Point number 18, why do we want to come to church? To be a light to your community. To be a light to your family. Jesus said, the world will know that we are his disciples for our love one for another. Let our love be a light that shines brightly in a crooked and perverse generation. So we've talked a little bit about, during the past period, David spoke about this in the words of encouragement, about how there's been some good and beautiful things that have been happening, but there's also some horrible things that have been happening, and the confusion that's out there because of it. I have a brother-in-law who's been very active. He's a conservative, but he's very active on Facebook. He just gets attacked brutally, but he keeps putting himself out there, and he keeps getting attacked, and he finally wrote this page-long Facebook posting that says that, you know, I can't continue with this anymore because it's affecting my family, it's affecting my mental health. And I took some time and I went through the posting that he had, and I underlined each kind of key point. And from it I was able to list, here's all the causes, all the things that he's concerned about, and then here's the reactions that he gets to those, and here's the consequences of those reactions, the hurt to his family, the hurt to himself. And I took it to the next step by saying, what is your goal? What is it you're trying to accomplish? And with each of the points of his objectives, it turns out that you can put that in a sentence that says, I want to help people understand that there's deception happening in the media today. That by itself isn't a threatening thing. It's something that you can easily find evidence. You can have points that will prove that. Now the problem is, in the course of Facebook, usually you're not trying to help somebody by proving something to be helpful to them. Usually it's a battle. It's I'm going to hit you and you hit me back, and at the end of the discussion, or we'll not like each other. And so there's times or approaches that you can use that'll be more appropriate that won't get you the amount of attack. And so if you start your Facebook post by saying, my hope today is to help you understand that the mainstream media is deceiving people. It's intentionally selecting stories and intentionally telling things in a slanted way. Now, most people, when they hear that, are going to say, no way. I mean, I've listened to news all my life, and I trust the news. And so it then becomes listing some points that can demonstrate that what you're saying is true. And then people, in a non-threatening way, in theory, they're not being threatened here. They're seeing, this friend of mine wants to help by understanding this point. So he's either right or wrong with the point. The key is he needs to identify the evidence that's going to prove that point. And in that way, we're talking about ultimately being a light to your community, to your family. The case of my brother-in-law, who was writing this Facebook post, he's saying that the issue is that his brother does everything he can to write hateful things about anything that he posts, and even his mom is writing that you've taken it too far, you've gone too far with what you're saying. And again, in a world of deception that we've talked about, it makes perfect sense that they would say those things. But there are approaches, and we can be a light to the community so that they're not going to be threatened by what we say. Point number 19, why come to church? To bear each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 teaches us to bear each other's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. And again, for some of us, when we talk about bearing each other's burdens, sometimes it's just a case of listening. Sometimes people just need a sounding board where they can chat, where they can talk about things. And again, beyond chatting, things that are very heartfelt. And sometimes that's a way we can help. Sometimes people have a need in their lives, whether it's a material need, they might need clothing, or they might need other things. Sometimes in the church we're able to assist with those things as well. Point number 20, why come to church? Because God says to. I remember this verse from Spokesman's Club many years ago, Barry Cluley, that we have known from the feast in the last few years, was the president. He was a member of the RCMP. He was the president of the Ottawa Spokesman's Club when I was just a teenager. I would come to club, and first day that he was president, he said, "We're going to have a theme for the Ottawa Spokesman's Club." And the theme was this verse. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." In his use, he was using that to encourage us men to get together for Spokesman's Club, because it gives us a chance to strengthen our bonds of friendship. It gives us a chance to strengthen our skills as speakers and to be able to think through ideas. One of the neat things about table topics is you can see how other people that you really respect in the church, how do they handle some of the weird questions that are out there. And when you see the example of some of the effective leaders in the church, then you can benefit from that. But what Paul was actually talking about in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling, is the idea that we need to get together for Sabbath days and holy days, that we benefit from it. And again, point number 20, why come to church? God instructs us to. He says this is what we need to do. And again, the last paragraph says, "I don't think the writer of Hebrew could make any more clear God's desire to have us regularly assemble together as his people. Realize that God wants you to regularly attend church for your good. He wants you and his people to exhort one another, especially as the days grow darker and the time of Christ's return approaches." As was mentioned during the intercessory prayer, it was Denise that mentioned it, during the pandemic, we have a situation where people have been away from church for a long time. The point that Denise was bringing up today is really important, that there's an excellent chance that during this period of time, some people might not return. So it falls upon us as family and as brethren to be reaching out to people, to make sure that they stay included, that they feel that they're part of the group and connected. And we want to make sure that this pandemic, although it's been a trial for everyone, we want to make sure that it's not something that causes people to walk away from the church. So we need to reach out to people. That's perhaps one of the most important lessons that we can learn from today. And again, from this message that's talking about being thankful. We're thankful for what God does to us, and we're grateful also for what we can do for each other. And most especially, we want to be able to reach out to those that are not here today, those that we've lost contact with a little bit, because we know how important all these benefits of coming to church are for us, and we want to make sure that we can share those benefits with as many people out there as we can.